Scott McKay. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Liz.
So let's start at the beginning, I guess. What stood out for you in this speech?
Well, I thought that the governor laid out basically her blueprint for re-election this year. This is, again, the lofty speech that you give when it's state of the state. Now, tomorrow, we're going to learn what's really on her mind when we get to see her budget come out of there. I think she did touch on the high points. I think the overall theme was, look, things are looking up here in Rhode Island, and I deserve 4 more years of working to push them up. She touched on a whole bunch of initiatives that she's done. There were a few concrete things in here, like saying, you know, she's going to do more job training for high tech, an ambitious plan to float bonds for millions and millions of dollars to finance some school rebuilding, which we all know our schools are in terrible shape. She talked about more roads and bridge money, and in a little bit of a surprise, said that she was going to push the health insurers in the state. This is sure to spark a lobbying effort at the State House. Push the health insurers to be more solicitous and more aggressive in covering addiction and the opioid recovery issues.
Let's delve into that a little bit more, Scott, because that was one of the biggest applause lines of the evening when she talked about job training for people in addiction recovery and requiring insurance companies to cover mental health care.
Look, it's a nationwide problem. I think we all know that. We do know that this isn't one of those issues that's discrete to a certain demographic. Here we see families, we all know very publicly, the president at Hasbro, his son having an overdose problem. We see this every day. It's going on nationally. I think people want us to act with alacrity and compassion on this issue. And I think that she's trying to get the insurance companies to do more to cover folks who need this help. Now, the problem is somebody's got to pay for that. And I'm sure that that's going to lead to perhaps higher premiums for everyone, or perhaps the state stepping in and doing more in the way of programs for targeted people who need these services.
Now, Scott, one notable omission in this address was the PSOC and whether the state should do anything to try to keep this team in Rhode Island or let them go elsewhere and not give public subsidies to build a new ballpark.
Yeah, this was one of those issues that was kind of the big 800-pound gorilla in the room that did not get mentioned. Other things weren't mentioned. For instance, she said a lot about green jobs, and we know we're against coastal drilling for oil here in New England, and we really want to have a great green economy, but there's nothing about the Burrville Power Plant, which a lot of environmental folks do not want to see, and yet it's been one of her initiatives. So nothing about UHIP, the social service website that's been having so much trouble delivering services to people, this computer snafu that's really hurt the state. So, no, this is a night where you accentuate the positive. It's your state of the state speech. You're not out there to marinate yourself in the negatives and say mea culpa. No, this is the governor looking ahead to election year and saying, you know, keep moving ahead with Gina. It was the bumper sticker that I would take away.
And this speech, while it didn't have a lot of fancy rhetorical flourishes, it was organized around the stories of some everyday Rhode Islanders, and it hit some emotional moments.
Yes, it did. I think that what she tried to do is connect the government and the politicians and her administration with the hopes and fears and dreams of everyday Rhode Islanders. And we saw this, whether it's the person who got a job welding, whether it was that heart-wrenching story that she started and ended her speech with, the bookends, if you will, about the person whose husband died and he got some help to build his business, and she was left with children and a business, and she's now running the business. The Lisa Tortolani anecdote, which was very much heart-rendering. I do think it was a little long. It was 50 minutes, more than 50-minute speech. A lot of people may not have stayed with her all the way through that, but I thought she was effective.
It did seem like there was a little something for everyone. She's proposing
yes.
help for people who have small manufacturing companies to help them purchase new equipment and get loans. She's proposing money for school buildings, a little something for the progressives when she criticized President Trump over offshore oil drilling and over repealing the executive action that gave hope to young people who were brought to this country illegally. So there was a little something for everyone, whether you're a small business owner, a family person, a working Rhode Islander, or a progressive.
Well, the idea is when you are a governor and you do a State of the State speech, the idea for you is really to hold a mirror up to Rhode Island, and hopefully those people out there will see some of what they care about in your speech. And I think that every governor tries to do this. This isn't new. Again, I've covered these things since Ed DePreet was governor way back in the 1980s, my Lord. And
but this year is an election year.
What did you hear?
What did the speech tell you about where Governor Gina Raimondo's reelection campaign may be headed?
I think it's headed exactly where she said. She's laid out the blueprint last night, frankly, for a very vigorous campaign based on what she feels her accomplishments are, and cheerleading, trying to get Rhode Island out of the kind of psychic doldrums that we often seem locked into. And I think that that's what you're seeing. We are better. Things are better. And instead of telling people that we have this great commonweal or community, or that we care about each other, what she tried to do is point to this kind of existential thing that a lot of people in Rhode Island will tell you. Why do they like living in Rhode Island so much? Well, part of it is, frankly, its smallness, its intimacy, the fact that you know your neighbors. It's not one of these faceless everywhere else USA type of suburbs where people move every 3 years and we don't have rootedness. I think that although some people see Rhode Island as parochial and a bit provincial, I think she's decided, if I'm going to give me that lemon, I'm going to make lemonade out of that. And the flip side of that is that we care about community. We care about each other. We know our neighbors. We know our first names. We're still a small New England area that has an awful lot to boast about.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay will be checking back in with you later this week once the governor's budget is released on Thursday.
Then we'll look at the numbers, Liz. Thank you. Great to be here.